John 3, 14, 15, and 16. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, we are about to hear words from your Holy Bible about the importance of keeping our eyes fixed on you. And we want to do that, keep our eyes turned to you throughout our entire life, just as this song portrayed. And help me to stress the importance of doing that so we can all be with you in thy kingdom, in thy holy name, amen. Well, the theme of All About Jesus Part 3, you can guess it, it's called Fix Your Eyes on Jesus. In Hebrews 12:2, there's a couple different translations. I like the way it is phrased in the NIV translation, fix your eyes on Jesus. Versus the King James translation, which says, looking unto Jesus. Both are ways of saying, I am focused on Jesus, and I will be following him only and obeying his commandments, which is fine with me, but I prefer to say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Let's read it in Hebrews 12:2 again. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him. And I always wondered what joy was set before him, but the joy of winning souls. He endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. For us to get to Jesus and be in the kingdom with him, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. He is to be our focus. Turn to Matthew 14:22. This is the story that teaches the importance of keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus. The Bible talks about Jesus walking on the water several places, but this is the only place, the account of Peter walking on the water. This story starts with Jesus having his disciples get into the boat and sending them away. Then he dismisses the multitudes, and after he sends the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain to pray. And when evening had come, he was there alone. But the boat was in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. I always wondered what the word contrary, when people act contrary, what it meant. And that's a good explanation, being tossed by the waves. Now in the fourth watch of the night, which was about 3 a.m., Jesus went to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled and they said, "It is a ghost." You can imagine this. Here they were out in the midst of the Sea of Tiberias. The wind was blowing terribly, and they see this person walking on the water toward them, and it looked like a ghost or a spirit. But they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." What they saw that scared them was their friend, Jesus. And Peter said, "Bid me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." I feel that this was Jesus using this occasion to show the disciples and us today to recognize his power and there in our weakness. When Jesus says, "Come," he will empower you to do what he is asking to be done. Let me repeat that, and this is if you want to take something home from the sermon today, take this home. When Jesus says, "Come," he will empower you to do what he is asking you to do. He empowered my brother Mark to go to his mission trip. There is power in the word. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And when he says, come, he gives you the ability to come to him and walk on the water. So Peter steps out of the boat and he feels something solid under him. Then he looks to Jesus and he starts to walk. Peter is no longer afraid because he realized that the one he is moving towards is greater than the storm. Then he starts to think, I bet there is no one that has done this trick before, just Jesus and I. So as he was walking toward Christ, he took his eyes off of Jesus. That was a bad idea in the calm, but a very bad idea in the storm. Peter takes his eyes off Jesus, and he starts to sink. Peter's logic took over, and he lost his faith, and as his faith began to sink, he began to sink. Have you ever had that experience before? You start looking at the circumstances, you start looking at what your friends are doing and thinking and saying, and you take your eyes off of Jesus, and you start going down. You can be overwhelmed about the circumstances and forget about the promises. You may take your eyes off of Jesus to look at your enemies even, and you sink again. And do you know who is behind getting you to look elsewhere? Satan. The good news is that Peter quickly realized that he made a big mistake. The Bible says that as soon as he felt himself sinking, he cried out a brief prayer. If you are ever in doubt about how to pray formally, well, this one works. It is a very simple three-word prayer. He said, Lord, save me. He lists the one that he was addressing, the verb or action that was needed, and the object that needed it. Lord, please save me. The Bible says as soon as he uttered that prayer, immediately Jesus reached out to Peter and said, why did you lose faith? Why did you doubt me? O ye of little faith, why did you doubt me? And implied in all of this was, why did you take your eyes off of me? I would like to think that Jesus let him go down under until his hand was barely sticking out of the water, so he would never forget that experience. And Jesus reached down and grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up all wet. When you take your eyes off Jesus, you begin to sink. Smashing success when we keep our eyes on Jesus, but failure when we take our eyes off of him. There's a guy called King of the High Wire. Anybody know who that is? Nick Walenda, who is one of the best tightrope walkers in the world. He was the only person to walk the high wire directly over the Niagara Falls, not the only person that walked over the Niagara Falls, but directly over, which occurred in 2012. I didn't realize it was that recent. He also walked the high wire over Masaya Volcano in Nicaragua in 2020. Anyway, he said his secret to success is his faith in Jesus and to keep his focus on Christ in his life. He looks straight ahead and doesn't look down. Some people, when they walk on high places, make the mistake of looking down like I do. People would tell me, don't look down. If you want to maintain your balance, you need to look level. There's a device in your inner ear that helps you maintain your balance called the cochlea, and looking down changes the stabilization of it. So Nick knew the secret, and he kept his head level. And he also says that he prays without ceasing during all his walks, and is constantly talking to Jesus and keeping an attitude of constant prayer. He doesn't look down at the raging water or the billowing volcano or the busy streets below. Some Christians are constantly looking at their performance, and in doing that, they may misperform. When I was a child, I had this great fear of heights, and even though I challenged that fear a lot, I have never outgrown that fear of heights. My wife and children will witness and laugh many times at the times I was shaking in my boots over heights. They would say, "Come close to the glass elevator," and I would stand back and look. Anyway, do you remember those big steel bridges with the metal grate flooring that you could look down through and car tires hummed as they drove over it? Well, there used to be one of those bridges out at Taiyi. They replaced it after years with the cement bridge they have now. Well, my brothers would run across it and laugh. I would look down and tiptoe slowly to avoid falling through those little square holes. I knew down deep that I couldn't, but looking down threw me off, and it would freeze me seeing the rocks in the river below. Oh, so very high. Well, Brother Mark helped me a lot by saying, "Do not look down. Look straight ahead, and what you can't see won't scare you." With that motto, I made big progress, but I am still sweaty-palmed when crossing those kind of bridges. A favorite saying that I have is, I get about 4 times the amount of adrenaline rush the average person gets, and that keeps me challenging this unreal fear. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and the fear of the devil and hell will go away. Jesus has promised us that he has the full set of the keys to hell, and he has promised us a home with him for eternity instead. Wow, what an exchange. My new slogan is, fix your eyes on Jesus and your fear will go away. There was a man who saw 3 boys playing in a big snow field, and he said to them, "Would you like to have a race?" Well, what 3 boys wouldn't like to have a race? So they said, "Sure." He said, "Okay, this is a different kind of race. I will go across the field, and the one that runs in the snow with the straightest line wins the race and gets the prize." So the man said, "On your mark, get set, and go." And the 3 boys took off from 3 different points and ran to the man. One of the boys, as he ran, constantly watched to see what the other boys were doing in their footprints. He made crooked tracks. Another boy spent a lot of his time looking back at his own tracks to see how straight they were. They were likewise crooked tracks. The 3rd boy took off running, and he fixed his eyes on the man and not only won the race with the shortest distance, but his tracks were the straightest. The shortest distance between 2 points is a straight line. If you fix your eyes on Jesus, you are a lot more likely to live a straight life. It is when you look at what others are doing, you start to get crooked. Or you constantly examine what you are doing, you also get crooked. Do you know why a river is so crooked? Because it always follows the path of least resistance. As a Christian, the way we get crooked is by taking the easy way. Sometimes a straight line is not the easiest. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, it doesn't always promise to be easy, but you will reach your destination. A double-minded man will always lose his way. You cannot look at Christ and look at others and reach your destination. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:22, "The life of the body is the eye. Therefore, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light." What is your eye fixed upon? Is it fixed upon Jesus? Is he your goal in life? Because you will automatically move towards your goal. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When you know what you want and fix your eye on that, you will achieve that. Here's an example. There's a book about the secrets of successful men and women. Whoever wrote the book interviewed successful men and women and wrote about their habits. He noted that one of the common habits that successful people shared when they knew what they were going after, and someone else came along that would distract them or take their time and attention that did not involve the ultimate goal, they did not waste their time for it. As Christians, we got to know what our focus is, and if things are getting you off course, that is the devil's plan. The devil has so many diversionary tactics, and funny things, some of them consist of good things. Amazing? We get so distracted by things that we lose our focus. Christians are to be obsessed by what our goal is. You cannot cross the waters. You cannot run the race. You cannot walk on tightrope across Niagara Falls or keep straight tracks in the snow unless you fix your eyes on Jesus. When I was in college, this is one of my low times in life, my best friend and I went to the dog races in Portland. That's literally going to the dogs. But I learned a few things. We learned that the dogs race after a rabbit, which causes them to run around the track. And there is no food in the rabbit. It is not even a real rabbit. And if they ever could get the rabbit, which they never do, it wouldn't satisfy them. How many people are racing toward the goal that they are never going to catch? And those goals are never going to satisfy us. The devil holds out these mechanical rabbits and tries to get us to chase them. We never do catch it, and we are never satisfied. And if we ever did get it, there is nothing there. It is very important you know what to fix your eyes on, so when you reach your goal, you are not disappointed. I can promise you, if you fix your eyes on Jesus, He will not let you down. No one can even come close to having the goal Jesus has planned for you. Eye has not seen, ears not heard of what I have planned for you. You want to set Him before you as an example. You become like the one you look at. What is your goal? What is your God? You become like that which you move towards. And if Christ is constantly before you, you will be blessed. And the way you do that is setting Jesus up as your idol. He is the one you worship. In your prayers, in your devotion, set Christ before you and say, Lord, I want to be like you. You are my everything. As you move towards Him, your whole life will be in focus. You will be able to lay aside the sin that besets you, and more important, your tracks will be straight. Let's pray that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. I want to be like Peter after he got a dunking by keeping my eyes fixed on Jesus. I too have to get dunked a time or two to learn my lesson to keep my eyes on Jesus. There's an example that Jesus made in John 3:14-15. That is right before one of my favorite texts in the Bible, John 3:16. Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does it mean to lift up Christ? They bring Him up to a position of visibility. In Numbers 21, there is the story that Jesus was referring to here. The story of the children of Israel going through the wilderness for many years. God had been feeding them with manna from heaven, but they got tired of it. As they were complaining about God's bread, the Lord withdrew His protection. And there was a plague of serpents that came through the camp. And everywhere they would go, there were snakes and they would get bitten. It was a very venomous snake and it was lethal and they were dying. And after they asked for help and pleaded for God to help them, God told Moses, I want you to make a bronze serpent or snake, fix it on a pole, and raise it up on a hill in the sight of all who wanted could see it. So whoever looked upon the snake on the pole will be healed from the venom of the serpent's bite. Some didn't believe, and they refused to look on the snake, and they died. Some chose to believe, and they looked, and they were healed. Their lives were spared. The solution was there, and the only ones that were healed were the ones that fixed their eyes on the serpent raised up on a pole. And this symbolized Jesus. As a side note, the medical caduceus, or little insignia, which is a snake on a pole, got its origin from this story in the Bible. That's exactly where it came from. I have it on many things in my office and my coat to remind me that it is Jesus who is the true healer, and he is the one that I rely on to heal my patients. Many will be saved or lost on what or who they fix their eyes on. In closing, I want to tell one more story of an event that happened to Barb and I this last October 2021, when our daughters asked us to go with them to be their drivers on the rim-to-rim hike from one side of the Grand Canyon to the other side. They needed someone to drive around to the other side of the Grand Canyon while they hiked it. Well, this story is not about the Grand Canyon hike, but it is about a hike that they had planned as a warm-up to the Grand Canyon hike. To get to the north rim of the Grand Canyon, you have to go right past Zion National Park. There is a hike in Zion called Angel's Landing. It is a 5-mile round-trip hike that starts in the Valley of Zion and weaves up this cliff rock to Angel's Landing. You go up one side of this cliff that has the switchback trail carved into the cliff that takes you to this landing. At the bottom of this landing, there is a sign that says, keep 3 points of contact at all times because as of this certain date, there has been 13 people who have fallen to their death. Well, I was reading on the internet and the count is up to 19 and they say maybe even 20. That is the final push to the hike that goes up the ridge of this mountain that is called the Chains. There are metal posts drilled into the rock, and they have chains between the posts that you are to keep a hold of. At the start of the ridge, there is about a 1,000-foot cliff, 10 feet to the right and 10 feet to the left of the chain path, and sometimes even a lot narrower. This ridge ascended the rock, and at the top, there is a 1,500-foot drop at the right or the left. I have this great fear of heights, like I told you before, but I made the hike to the top, watching people coming down, crying and shaking, only because God gave me this ability to focus and fix my eyes on a straight point in front of me and not look to the right or to the left and bring on fear. 3 points of contact is 2 feet on the ground and one hand on the chain at all times. That is literally one of the toughest hikes I have ever done, and only because I kept my focus at all times helped me make it to the top and back. After we made it down, I watched a video that my daughter made, and I said, no way. I wasn't that close to the edge, was I? Well, this I learned from that experience. One can accomplish anything they want to do in life if you keep your focus on Jesus and never look to the right or left. If you do not keep your continual focus on Jesus, you will fail and become crooked. Let us all determine to be in heaven all together with Jesus by daily keeping our focus on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, no one else, no other things, Just Jesus. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, thank you for the message you gave us in the story with Peter walking on the water, how he sank when he took his eyes off of you, and how he walked on water just like you did by keeping his eyes fixed on you. And we want to use that example for our lives here on earth, that we will always keep our eyes fixed on you, willing and wanting to follow you completely and obeying all your commandments. And help us to carry this memory for the rest of our lives until we meet with you in heaven and give you thanks personally in thy holy name. Amen.